This is Doug Miller. We are still in the faith chapter of Hebrews, so come along and let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time with Bible in hand to look into this marvelous, this wonderful book, which has changed so many lives for the better, and which, unfortunately, will be a tool of condemnation for those who fail to heed and will not be turned and will not listen. But one way or the other, this is the most important book you will ever encounter in your life. So come along, open up to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We will begin with verse 8 today. And why not call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far as we can get it out there. And, of course, we are utterly dependent on our listeners and others who are interested in this ministry and who support us. We covet your prayers, and we exist really by word of mouth, by people telling other people, hey, listen into this guy, and you'll learn some things about the Bible. Now, if you have any desire to be of any use to us at all, please pray for us and please tell others. And of course, we'd always love to hear from you. I say this every week only because it's true. We love to hear from our listeners, to know where you are, to know that you're there, to know that you're listening, that you're being blessed by what we're doing. Any questions we can answer, we'd be glad to do it. Any help we can give you, we would be glad to do that too. So write to us, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, just keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. All right, Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham. Now, we are in going through the rest of this 11th chapter. Of course, my practice is and has always been, for those of you who have listened to Dialogue at any length of time, you know that I go pretty well line by line and verse by verse. I am not going to spend as much time in the rest of the 11th chapter of Hebrews just looking at individuals and talking about individuals and minutely looking at all these individuals. Not that that's not worth doing. That is very well worth doing, and I suggest you can do that on your time. I will try to move through these fairly quickly, though, and pick up the salient points and the important points that you and I need to get. This is, after all, a chapter about faith. And, of course, anyone who has spent any time in the Bible at all, even a superficial reading of the Bible, Old or New Testament, can easily tell you that God places a great premium on this business of faith, on whether or not we believe what he has said. Now, for those of you out there who are interested in miracles and the miraculous, and for those of you who really believe that the way people get saved is by seeing miraculous works done, and that somehow seeing things that are extraordinary and out of the ordinary, that that really creates faith in one, I suggest you read the Gospel of John carefully. And some of the other things Jesus said during his earthly ministry. When the Pharisees asked him for a sign, he said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. When you go to God and start asking him to validate his word by doing something miraculous that you can see, you know what you're doing? You are saying as much as, look, I simply don't believe this, but I'll believe it if you'll show me some kind of wonderful miracle. And this is nonsense. This is absolute nonsense. If you don't take God at his word and you don't believe his word, you're not going to believe if you see some miracle. It's just not going to happen. And faith, as I have already told you, is always faith in something. Faith does not exist in a vacuum. And it is faith in God's word. It's God's word that generates faith in one. God gives us his word. He asks us to act on that word. He asks us to take him at his word and to believe it. And I want you to notice all of these people that we talk about and that we see in this chapter. And let me just name some of them. We saw Abel and Enoch and Noah last time. We've got Abraham today. We've got Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. Rahab the harlot even is in this one. That's an interesting one, isn't it? And later on, Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah, David. The people that are named in here are people, some of them we know, some of them we don't know much about, although they are in the Old Testament. And these are all Old Testament people that the writer of Hebrews knows his addressees will understand and will know something about. Now, I want to tell you, I want to show you what the faith chapter does not cover and does not deal with. I think it's remarkable in reading of these individuals that it has very little, if anything at all, to say about their feelings and their emotions. How they feel about these things apparently is of no particular importance. The whole chapter has to do about their actions. It's not how they feel about what God says, but whether or not they act upon what God says. And you'll notice this over and over again. We saw it the last time. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was translated because he pleased God. By faith, Noah built an ark. Yes, it says that he moved with fear, if you want to get into the emotion. But the main thing was not just his fear. It didn't stop there. If he had been afraid and done nothing more, we wouldn't know anything about him because he would have been wiped out in the flood and the human race along with him. There'd be no one around now. But he built an ark. And now we are looking at Abraham. And every one of these people that we look at, every one of them, the emphasis is not on how they felt, but on what they did. Now, friends, this is important. And it is important for you to see. Not what you feel, but what you do is the important thing. I said it last week. I have said it many times on here. I will continue to say it. The truest index of what you believe is how you behave. And if your behavior shows nothing, then I am perfectly warranted in telling you, you don't believe anything. You can say you do. But if your faith isn't shown in your works, it's not faith at all. In fact, James tells us in his letter, faith without works is dead. All right, now let's take a look at Abraham in verse 8. When he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. All right. Now, what caused Abraham to get into motion? What got him out of Ur of the Chaldees and moving? It was a word from God. We'll notice in this verse 8, it says, when he was called. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place. You go back and read of the call of Abraham at the end of the 11th chapter and into the beginning of the 12th chapter of Genesis, and you'll see that God said to Abraham. Now, it doesn't say anything in the calling about some miracle or miraculous thing that Abraham saw. What we have is a word from God. God said. Now, let me ask this, and ask all of you to think about this. How does God speak to you today? How does God speak to me? I know there are all kinds of strange claims out there, and I do mean strange, and I don't mean to insult any of you, but, let me insult some of you. It's a little bit difficult to say this. There are individuals of you out there who really believe that God has spoken audibly to you in some way or another. You've heard the voice of God, and, there's nothing I can say that would convince you otherwise, and maybe I don't even care to convince you otherwise. But I will tell you this. There is nothing. If you've heard a voice sometimes speaking to you, my first suggestion is that perhaps you need to get a little professional help. But maybe not. Maybe God has spoken to you. God will never contradict His word. You will never be told anything that goes contrary to the word of God. Now, I say that because there are strange things going on out there, and there are some people out there who are very strange, individuals who are unbelievable in some of the things that are done. You know, we had a woman down in Houston. God told her to drown all her children because, they were demon-possessed. We recently had a case right here locally in which a doctor murdered his son because he said the devil was in the boy. Well, look, God is not telling any of you to do anything like this. And anything like this, you can be sure it's not from God. It's from the enemy. It's right out of the pit or out of your own twisted mentality. Abraham had a word from God, and he obeyed that word. Now, I don't know how God spoke to Abraham. I don't know how he did this, but I know that he did. And I know that the emphasis throughout the Bible, from Genesis on down to Revelation, is the spoken and written word of God. It's over and over again we see this. Now let's go on here, and we've got Sarah, Abraham's wife. She received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was a past age. And there sprang, in verse 12 there, even of one and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Now, I want to tell you something, and I want you to all listen very carefully to me. I have met many people in my day that are under tremendous pressure, is the word that comes immediately to mind, are very troubled because they are guilty or feel guilty because they think they're supposed to be doing things that they, that the Lord has told them to do. You want to be very careful about this. Where you have a clear directive from God, go. But once again, as I have said before, there you will never receive a word from the Lord that runs contrary to this book. There are people, I heard of an old man and an old woman, and I got to be careful about that because I'm kind of getting old myself. But old is old. Won't hurt me to use the word. This elderly man and woman, they were both of them very ill. They very much needed medical treatment and medical help. They were not getting medical help. The reason they weren't getting medical help is they had sent off to a radio preacher and sent him some money for a prayer cloth that he had prayed over, and he'd sent him this prayer cloth and assured them that this was all they needed, that they could just, that this would heal them. And, of course, if they didn't get healed by rubbing this prayer cloth that he had prayed over on them, it was because they didn't have the faith. I want to tell you, I'd like to take the preacher that said that to those people and put them under that kind of burden and knock him out. Now, I know I'm supposed to be nonviolent and fine. I'm just talking and I'm not going to knock anyone out. I'm just telling you that's how I feel. Because what he has done is take these very well-meaning but very poorly instructed elderly people and endanger their lives and put them under enormous pressure, because now if they don't get healed, and they're not going to get healed from this prayer cloth, I doubt very much, they might, but probably not, then you know what they're going to do? They're going to feel guilty, because they're not going to blame this preacher that got this money from them. They're going to blame themselves. They're going to say of themselves, well, we just didn't have the faith. You know, someone is going to give an account at the Bema of Christ for this kind of lying and deception and deceitfulness and bilking money out of people with this kind of stuff. There'll be an account given, and it will not go well with those who have done this. Once again, the Word of God is complete, and here it is. Abraham had a word from God, and there was no question about it. And he went out, and Abraham and Sarah had a word from God, and the word was very clear. Your wife Sarah will have a child. Now, once again, and she did. She did. Now, once again, I don't know how God spoke to them, but I do know this. And I want you to listen to me carefully. I personally am not at all sure that God speaks audibly and in some extra biblical way today to people. It is my belief that we have in our hands the completed revelation. God, this book of Hebrews began, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And I just do not see at all God making extra biblical revelations to people today. Now, I know a lot of you are in churches that teach otherwise. I am just telling you, I see no justification for that from this book. God speaks to us in his word. It is a complete revelation. It is perfect. We want nothing more. We need nothing more. Now, if you say to me, well, how does God communicate to people, you know, about specific things in their lives? How do I know which school to go to, which person to marry? How do I know if I'm to go out to the mission field or what line of work to go into? How does God do that? Well, I'd suggest that to get answers to that, you talk to someone whom you have confidence in, who is solid and mature in the Lord, and who basically takes the position I have just taken, and ask them, how did God direct you? How did he guide you? And there are a lot of ways that God guides us. He guides us through circumstances. He guides us through other people he brings into our lives. He guides us through one of the main ways that you get guidance, I think, is ask yourself, what is it that I'm good at? What are my gifts? What has God given me to work with? As God said to Moses, what is that in thine hand? Well, it was a staff. And he said, that's what you're going to use. Take that with you. Go back to Egypt. What do you have in hand that you can begin right now to use for the Lord? I think that a lot of these things are the very ways in which God speaks to us. But the main way is through his word here. Now let's go on. We've got a little bit of time here, and I want to read to you some more. All of these died. That is, everyone that we've talked about so far. Abel and Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah. They died not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. These are wonderful words, and they don't need a lot of explanation and comment from me. Notice this. Everyone that we've talked about here, there were promises that they had been given that they hadn't really received. For example, let's take Abraham here. He was told that he would be the father of a multitude, that his descendants would be like the sands of the sea. He didn't see any of that. He died not having received it. But he, by faith, laid hold on it and believed it. And it is the very belief in this that made him look for a country made without hands, a city being prepared for him whose builder and maker was God. He died knowing that he could rest in the promises of God. And what a wonderful thing. Let's go on here in the brief time that we have. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in figure. I am very glad that this passage occurs in Hebrews. I am so thankful that the writer of Hebrews put this in here, because we have here some information that we would not have otherwise about Abraham's attitude in offering up Isaac as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. We have here a word, and we're gonna take this up, Lord willing, next week, because I won't have time to get into it this week. We're going to go back and look at this in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, and we're going to spend some time over this one, because this is well worth looking at. We know, because of what this writer said here, that when Abraham took Isaac up there on Mount Moriah to offer him as a sacrifice, he knew very well that even if he had slain his son, God would raise him up from the dead again. Why did he know that? Because God had told him, Abraham, you're going to be the father of a multitude, and it is in Isaac that your seed shall be called. It is Isaac that will produce the blessing, and through whom these promises are going to be given to you. And he believed God, and he knew very well that even if he had to slay his son on that altar that he'd built that day, that God, in order to fulfill the promise to him, would have to raise him up from the dead. Now, once again, we wouldn't have this. We wouldn't know this were it not for this passage in Hebrews. You have to be careful with this one. You have to be careful, because if any of you out there are thinking, because you've heard a voice somewhere, oh, well, I got to go kill my son now, but God will raise him up from the dead. Please, don't even think about it. God isn't saying anything like that to any of you out there. This was a case between him and Abraham, and it is unique. Now, once again, we're out of time. We will take this up, Lord willing, next time and see that the wonders that are contained in this story. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue. Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.